Let us open our Bible to Deuteronomy 21. I'm going to read a little short passage. The scripture reading says from verse 18 to 21, it talks about a stubborn son. I'm going to read from verse 18 to the rest of the chapter, because the rest of the chapter will be also is very relevant to the sermon. Deuteronomy 21, from verse 18. Listen to the word of the Lord. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He was a glutton and drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him to death with the stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. But you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. So far, reading of the infallible Word of God. I'd like to ask you to open your Trinity Psalter hymnal, back of Trinity Psalter hymnal. The page 891, which has Lord's Day 39, which covers the fifth commandment. It's only one question and an answer. I will read the question, you can read the answer. What is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings, for by their hands God will to rule us. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We dealt with last time when I preached the Lord's Day sermon. There was the fourth commandment. Now we are at the fifth commandment. You know what fifth commandment is? Honor your father and your mother. And the catechism says, as we read, I must show honor, love, faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience. Look to pay attention to this word, proper obedience. Our catechism speaks of proper obedience. If you look at the old blue Psalter hymnal, which young people like so much, the old translation in the blue Psalter says like this, due obedience. So submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and corrections. The proper due obedience, they mean the same thing. So, what does that mean? Well, what do you think it means when it says due obedience or proper obedience? I think we all know what that means. It simply means parents, they deserve honor and respect from children, and so do all the authorities. For instance, when mom says, my son, my daughter, such and such, can you please stop playing with your phone and help me doing dishes? And of course, the proper answer is, and the expected answer is, not, no, I'm busy, but
Yes,
mom. Because it is proper, it is right for the child. He's supposed to give the right answer. Not only the right answer, but he has an obligation to follow their instructions with their obedience and real actions. So in this particular case, he should stop immediately and go help mom. Didn't Apostle Paul say in Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." If you look at the original language, it means righteousness, right. It has meaning of just. So that is correct thing to do. So that's where the catechism, the expression in the catechism, due obedience, proper obedience, came from. And the question is, again, why do we need to obey our parents? Because it is proper, it is right, it is appropriate. Parents gave you a birth. God is the one who put you there. God arranged in a such way that you be under the care of your parents and authority of your parents. Therefore, you give due respect and proper obedience. When our catechism says proper obedience or due obedience, it is indicated by the previous sentence, by the words honor, by the words such as honor, love, and faithfulness. Of course, it is proper to treat your parents with the politeness. Everybody knows that. But in some families, some children are not really shy, for instance, spitting out swearing words in the presence of the parents. I think we all agree that that's not proper to curse in the presence of your parents. Sometimes some little toddlers, when they have things that they don't like to eat in the dish, like for instance mushrooms and shrimps and green beans, and they say, "Yucky!" And the mother comes immediately and pointing fingers and then, no, that's not right. You say, "No, thank you." And then children have to learn how to show proper respect, love, and honor. And as we encounter this commandment, this fifth commandment, along with the summary that Jesus provided, which is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all everything you have, and also you shall love your neighbor as yourself, we come to a conclusion that we ought to love our parents with our best abilities. The Bible is very serious about that. As we read from the passage, Deuteronomy 21, we see a very severe punishment. In one incident, we're going to take a look at it in details. And the theme is this: a son must die to keep the land pure. And that is the theme of the sermon. As first point, we're going to see a disobedient son who had to die because he was disobedient, and also to keep the land pure. Second point, the obedient son who had to die, although he was obedient. Deuteronomy 28:18 talks about a rebellious son. According to this passage, it sounds like this son is extremely stubborn. First, he does not want to obey the voice of his father. Of course, what it means by obeying is not just pretend to listen, but actually listen, actually do what parents ask you to do. Notice how the son was described. He doesn't listen even after warnings and discipline, even after they chastened him, he still doesn't listen. According to the testimony of the parents, the son is stubborn, rebellious, glutton, and a drunkard. You know, usually when parents discipline their children, the purpose of the discipline is to teach the children not to repeat their mistakes, which they often make. And it seems that there is a universal rule. That is, the severity of the punishment is all depends on the severity of their wrongdoings. So for instance, for example, the more serious the offense is, the more serious the punishment will be. Also, many parents consider the condition of the child when they are about to discipline. If the child is too young to understand, if the child made a mistake for the first time, they take that into the account, their consideration. And the parents tend to go easy on them if that is the case. For instance, if a child who stole 2 scoops of ice cream should be punished more severely than the child who stole 1 scoop of ice cream. For instance, that's just an illustration. Nevertheless, everybody agrees that in that case, nobody deserves to be stoned to death. Because again, the severity of the punishment must be somewhat equal to the severity of the wrongdoings. Many counselors these days, they would say something like, discipline must not be too severe. You have to do it out of love. And we all agree. The discipline, you don't want to discipline your children out of anger, otherwise you will provoke your children. Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians 6 as well. But again, here's the interesting point. The point is, the severity of punishment, everybody agrees, that should be somewhat equal to the crime. However, in today's society, in the Western culture, and I'm sure nobody is willing to follow the instruction of what we read today, Deuteronomy 21. Or you might think, Pastor, are you saying we should stone our children? Well, I'm going to talk about that later. Well, if your child continues to sin and live in continuous rebellion of a certain kind, no parents are willing to, for instance, take a child to the elders and stone that person. Even the elders, even if they know that today's elders, no elders will stone a child, but still, parents are not willing to talk about this with elders. In reality, again, that's really interesting, even after reading this passage. Now the question is, why is that? Why are the people reluctant to coming to the elders? Or, I don't want to stone, and people are very reluctant even to read this passage. Is that because they're concerned about the reputation of their child? It could be a public place, revealing a sin in a public place, too severe, some people think. Now the question is, what do we do with this passage? What's the point? What's the point of having this passage in Deuteronomy 21? Brothers and sisters, we have to understand, and I would like to remind you that speaking of this passage, notice that this passage is in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 21. And this morning, if you were here in this morning, after the law, I also read Deuteronomy 6. And Deuteronomy 6:4 is actually in the same book. It's in Deuteronomy, which means written by the same author, Holy Spirit, and through the hands of Moses. Deuteronomy 6:4 says like this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up." It's very interesting. Such a famous passage among the Jews even today. "Hear, O Israel." That's the name of the phrase. Shema. Shema, we call that Shema passage, hear, or Israel. Interestingly, that word in Deuteronomy 6:4, hear, that in original word hear is the same word as obey. So the point is, we as a parent and any other people, any other Christians, we like to quote from Deuteronomy 6:4 so frequently. Hear, O Israel, obey, O Israel. Although Deuteronomy 21 uses the same word and has the same implication, that is, you have to obey your parents. If a man has a stubborn son who will not obey the voice of his father, yet even though it has the same implication, we would like to shy away from Deuteronomy 21, yet we so love to quote from Deuteronomy 6:4. Of course, we would like to teach our children to love the Lord with all our hearts, with all our soul and strength. But when you come to Deuteronomy 21, because the son had to be died, son had to be stoned to death, perhaps because we don't like it, perhaps because we think it's too severe, a little bit quick to disregard this passage. Again, I emphasize both passages, Deuteronomy 21, Deuteronomy 6, they were all written by the same author, Moses. Have we become a people who, on the one hand, we obey certain God's command, and on the other hand, we decide if we don't like them, we can disregard them? You and I agree, and we affirm, that to disobey any of God's commandment is sin, deserving death. Any commandment. The Apostle James said in James 2:10, For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Speaking of the severity of the sin, as I said, many people think whether or not this man is truly deserves the death penalty. People think, well, maybe he doesn't deserve this to be stoned. That is the current tendency of our society. However, first, if you look at our passage, verse 21 and 23 gives us a big clue. Why the son had to die. This death sentence has something to do with the special situation that the people of Israel were in. Verse 21. All the men of city, not just the selected people, but all the men of city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away evil among from you. The purpose is to put away the evil. Sin is like a leaven spreading all over the place. And all Israel shall hear and fear. Verse 23. His body shall not remain overnight on the tree, and you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land. So there's the same idea. The spreading of the corruption. The Lord wants to prevent it. The land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Notice that element of spreading sin. Sin spreads. Verse 21, God wants to prevent the spread of sin from the people. Verse 23, God doesn't want the land to be defiled by sin. That expression is found many times, especially in the five books of Moses. Murder, shedding blood defiles the land. Sexual immorality defiles the land as well. As we heard the sermon from this morning, the people of Israel had one obligation when they entered the promised land, which is to utterly destroy the inhabitants of the land, because they practiced detestable things before the eyes of the Lord. Sexual immorality. Sacrificing their children on the altar. The evil of the land had to be cleansed and purged, because God wants His people to be pure and holy. This principle applies especially to the people of God, the Jews. They were to be holy. They were chosen people and they will live upon the holy land. God is holy. You must be holy. Anything that is unholy should be removed. And that includes a rebellious and this unholy son. The principle applies the same to both the native who were born in the land and who was bought with money. You see, brothers and sisters, we can look at this passage like this, with the theme which is in the bulletin. In order to keep this land free, and in order to keep the people pure and holy, a son must die. And that is the principle. That's something that we have to keep in our mind. Let's not look at this passage with our sentiments. The rebellious, stubborn, glutton, and drunkard son must die. Now, so who is this son that Deuteronomy 21 is talking about? Notice in verse 18, it begins with a word. It's a word that indicates that it's a hypothetical situation. It begins with the word if. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son, so what we can gather from this passage is that this passage is not talking about an infant. It's not talking about toddlers. They don't obviously drink wine. Perhaps it could be teenagers. It could be grown-ups. But the point is, this son is somewhat older and he is extremely rebellious. His parents, we can imagine his parents continue to admonish him, continue to show love to him with warnings and love and discipline, hoping that this child would someday listen to the voice of their parents, but he wouldn't do that. Now, I just mentioned in James 2:10, for whoever shall keep the whole law yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. We all know that even just one act of disobedience, we deserve God's wrath. We deserve eternal punishment. Yet this son, in this hypothetical situation, is far worse. It is clear from verse 18 that the parents try to discipline this son. He does not listen. The parents were long-suffering, tried to extend their mercy to their son numerous times. Brothers and sisters, doesn't it sound very familiar to you? Deuteronomy 21, son. If a man has a stubborn son, in a bigger picture, this reflects the picture of our God who extends his grace and mercy. In a redemptive history, this refers to his firstborn, Israel. This also can be applied, surely, to every one of us. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gather her chicken under her wings, and you are not willing. You see, God is slow to anger, abounding in love. Again and again, he sent many prophets throughout the ages to convince his people in the redemptive history, and you and I, and also even now, but people are stubborn, stubborn as mule. So in this hypothetical situation, this was not one act of disobedience. This was continual disobedience and stubbornness. Endless rebellion. However, what God wants us to see is not just this horrible son and what he did, God wants us to see ourselves in this commandment. If God had not been merciful to us, if God had not been gracious, we should have been stoned long ago and even hang on the tree long ago. You and I know better than anybody else that we have not loved our parents with all our hearts. You and I know better than anyone else how many times I disobeyed my parents despite the numerous warnings that we heard from our parents, from the pulpit, from other people. You and I know how many times we nailed their hearts. Most of all, you and I know more than anybody that how many times we were disobedient to our God, Heavenly Father. You see, God knows every single sin that we committed. God sees through your hearts, which means God sees your sin that you ever thought in your heart, in your mind, against your parents, against God the Father. God knows every evil word that you spoke against your parents. God knows every grumblings and complaints you did against your parents, even when it was done behind closed curtains or closed doors. You know, we sang from Psalm 124. If the Lord, if Jehovah has not been gracious to us, you've been perished. And rightly so, according to the judgment of God. Just judgment. And this leads to the second point. The obedient son who had to die, although he was obedient. In the first point, I pointed out that this is the hypothetical situation. Yeah, it still does not mean this never happened. This could have happened. I don't think we can find any specific cases of this happening, but this was a law. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father and voice of his mother, then you talk to the elders and they will stone him. If a man committed sin deserving death, he should be hanged on a tree. Again, it's a hypothetical situation, but this had to be enforced. I also just mentioned that in the previous point that we all deserve to die because we are disobedient. I mean, just look at today's culture. If you look at any average Canadian family out there, you know, when you think of a fifth commandment, you know, well, their lifestyle is quite opposite when it comes to the fifth commandment. With some people, whatever reason that is, people don't like to be supervised, people don't like to have accountability, people don't like to be admonished by any kind of authorities, including parents. Godly parents say, well, no doing silly things, no smoking, no living with boyfriend or girlfriend before you marry. But because of our culture encourages that children to do silly things. And when they get caught, for instance, by their brother or their sister, the first thing they say is, shh, don't tell your dad, don't tell your mom. Well, last year I was talking to one of the elders in a different church. He told me how frustrating that is. That the parents don't like to talk problems especially with the elders. Especially when it has something to do with their children. So what actually happens, it gets worse and worse. Because they don't know how to deal with. And it eventually blows up. And then elders find out about it. Perhaps the parents were concerned about the reputation of their children. Perhaps parents do not like the rumors spreading fast, which is understandable generally speaking, in the Reformed circle, a small community, tight community, and rumors spread so fast. And the point is, people don't like to be supervised and to be admonished by authorities. And because of this special circumstance, because rumors spreading fast, they don't like to come and talk about these things. And humanly speaking, I think anybody can understand the reasons why they are reluctant to talk about it to the elders and others. However, here's the thing. It is totally understandable that people fear public eyes. In this hypothetical situation, the parents had to go through the same dilemma. Because, as you see, they had to approach to the elders at the gate. You know what the gate is? It's a public place, public area. And then when they stoned him, it was probably done publicly. Because all men in the city had to come and stone the person, the public execution. However, brothers and sisters, something that we should not undermine is that what the Lord intended through this. The Lord emphasized numerous times in the Old Testament, no sinners are allowed in His kingdom. And that is well represented by this kind of practices in Israel. As I mentioned, this was a commandment specifically attached to the condition of the promised land. Verse 23, so that you do not defile the land. No act of rebellion or any sin is tolerated. Rebellious people will not inherit the land. You know, Apostle Paul says something about it, no drunkard, no adulterers, idolaters. Sexually immoral people will inherit the kingdom of God. The same theme and same principle flows from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The author of Deuteronomy, Moses, he knew this very well. He himself could not go into the promised land. Why? Because he was the leader of Israel, yet he broke one commandment, mentioned in Numbers 20, striking the rock to bring the water for the people of Israel, although God said, speak to the rock. His impatience, his disobedience, he misrepresents the Lord who is gracious, and he could not get into the promised land. What's one violation? However, here's the thing. Beloved in the Lord, listen carefully. Here is the gospel truth that is reflected in Deuteronomy 21. Notice the testimony of the parents in verse 20. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He was glutton and drunkard. He was glutton and drunkard. The same expression was used by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament in Matthew 11:19 and Luke 7:34. Let's go look at them together. Let's just ask you to open your Bible to Matthew 11:19. Because the context is, Jews were complaining about John the Baptist, how different John the Baptist was compared to Jesus Christ. And the 19 said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. John the Baptist didn't do that. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. So brothers and sisters, who is this son that this hypothetical situation is talking about? And we just find out that it's a son who is rebellious, yet it it applies to all of us, you and I. You and I know better than anyone that we are this rebellious son. However, here's the crucial question. We are supposed to receive that punishment. But are we stoned? Are we hanged on a tree? No. Now the question becomes, who received this punishment that this stubborn son was supposed to receive? Notice the following verse in our passage in Deuteronomy 21, verse 22, which I read. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, he is put to death. You hang him on a tree, and his body shall not remain overnight on the tree, and you shall surely bury him that day, so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is accursed of God. The conclusion is this, of course. When people accused Jesus as being glutton and drunkard, it was not an accurate description. He was not drunkard. He was not glutton. Of course, they were making fun of him. But later in Matthew, says there was this wisdom of God behind this. Wisdom is justified. Although this Son of God, remember when he was baptized? There was a voice from heaven. This is Son is well pleased. Son of God, perfect, blameless Lamb. This is the Lamb of God, spotless. Although this Son of God was not rebellious nor stubborn, although he was not a glutton and drunkard, he was counted as one. He was considered as one. I repeat this again because this is very extremely important. See, although Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not the son in this hypothetical situation by looking at what he did, but God considered him as a rebellious son. The prophet Isaiah spoke about this in Isaiah 52:12. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. No wonder why he was called a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Of course, it was an expression to make fun of him. The question is, why is that written in the Bible? Why is it teaching us? So, brothers and sisters, what is it that we can learn from this small portion of Deuteronomy 21? Well, it's about the fifth commandment, of course. We should obey our parents. And precisely speaking, it's about the fulfillment of the fifth commandment. Christ fulfilled this fifth commandment by becoming the rebellious son, even though he is not. Now, I'm guessing when we began to read this passage, I think there are some people who were wondering, so what is the minister trying to say today? What is he going to say about the punishment? Why are we reading this passage? Does he want to say we need to tell everything to the elders so that my child can be stoned? What a passage to read in a home visit. Well, we don't do that in Canada. So what does that mean? Well, that does not mean that we still... Does that mean that we still need to tell the elders that our children... Tell the elders so that our children can be shamed? Well, that's not the main point. You see? We should not be distracted from the work of Christ. He received the death penalty so that we don't have to be stoned. He received the shame so that we don't have to be shamed. We don't have to do that because of Christ. You see, it was fulfilled. The curse is gone because of what Christ has done. But here's the thing. The system that existed in the Old Testament, for instance, the elders, the office of elders still continued. So this is what I would say. If you have a troubles, let us not be hesitant to ask help from the leaders of church. The elders are not there to shame you. Elders are not there, certainly are not there to stone your children. That's Christ who received all the punishment. Rather, we can help each other so that we may strive to keep the fifth commandment out of thankfulness. So that we may desire to honor our parents and authorities out of thankfulness, not out of fear. Again, because Christ died in my place. You see, when we think about all this church practice, this has to be fitting to the redemptive history, how that is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And the elders in the Old Testament stoned, but the elders in the New Testament we admonish with love and much thankfulness because of Christ. Not only the elders, but also the whole congregation as members of Christ. Christ's risen body. We encourage one another with love and mercy of Christ. Amen. Let us give thanks. Our God, our Father, we give thanks after listening to your holy word for the sufferings and excruciating pains that your Son had to suffer in our place, that we recognize how horrible our sins are in the same time, how infinitely grateful we are. We give thanks again and again. We are debtors. And as debtors, we desire to live holy life. Not that this holy life can bring me and take me to heaven, no. But because we are infinitely thankful for what you have done for us. Lord, we pray that through the working of the Holy Spirit, this word that we heard may be well planted in our hearts. That we may be patient with one another. That we may pray for one another. And we may be submissive to you and to the authorities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.